One can have the greatest accomplishments in the church, can have the biggest congregation, the best pastor, the most active youth group, the largest Sunday school classes, the best food pantry, the most wonderful senior citizens program, but without love, without agape, all of these signs of success are worthless. One can have spiritual attainments, have incredible mental, biblical, and theological understanding, can attend all the Bible studies a church offers, can preach sermon after sermon after sermon without studying a lick, and even have faith to move mountains. But without love, without agape, all of this spiritual advancement, all of this faith, is still worthless. One can be self-giving, putting hundreds and hundreds into the offering plate. And please put hundreds and hundreds into the offering plate.
Amen.
Thank you, Peggy. One can be self-giving, putting hundreds and hundreds into the offering plate, giving tons of food to the bread basket, giving of their prayers, their presence, their gifts, and their service in many ways, but without love, without agape, there is nothing to be gained by all these good works. Because I put it to you, without love, all they are is empty action. Without love, all the faith is head knowledge, not heart knowledge. Without love, the biggest church, the biggest budgets, the biggest Sunday school classes just become a country club. Without love, without true, divine, God-given love, it's all worthless. What is love? What is agape? I was reviewing, after I prepared my message, I decided to see when was the last time I preached on this very passage. So I looked it up. And there's a danger to having your sermons on the internet for year after year after year for people to listen to, because you can go and listen to yourself. Ugh. And I looked it up, and it was 2 years ago, in February, first Sunday of February of 2004. And then I decided, well, what about the time before then? It was actually January the 28th, which was a Sunday, in the year 2001. Wow, I wasn't even here then. I was at my previous church. So I got curious. How had God changed my thinking? So I took a listen to the first message, the one from 6 years ago. I didn't remember preaching it. It didn't follow the outline that I prepared for today. I didn't disagree with what I said, but where I am and where this congregation happens to be are completely different places from where I was and where Beverly Drive was in Wichita Falls 6 years ago. And I want to tell you, where we are today, and where I am today, and where this congregation and I were back in 04 is also different. And it was amazing to see the differences between what God was leading me to preach on today in my preparation and what I preached in 04. These are very different, in some ways exceedingly different, messages today. What is love? What is love, agape? Let's go back to a basic teaching of Scripture here and take a look at this basic word, love. In English, the word love has many meanings. I love pizza. I love music. I love cats and dogs. I love my parents. I love my church. I love God. We use the same word, the same verb here, love. But each and every use is somewhat different from the others. I love my mother in a different way than I love pizza. You understand that, don't you? I love God in a very different way than I love my dog, Dorcas. However, I might say, just as an aside, that maybe the other way around is true. God loves me with that largesse kind of love, that giving love that, you know, doesn't ask anything in return. God loves me in a deep way, in a way kind of similar to, and this is going to sound weird, kind of similar to the way in which she, Dorcas, loves me. She doesn't demand anything from me other than love. She looks at me with these big, liquidy, adoring eyes. She wiggles with joy when I come in. I can be grumpy, I can be mad, I can be angry, I can be frustrated, I can be tired. Doesn't matter. Oh, I'm happy to see you. Here, pet me, feed me. I need to go outside. She's always happy to see me. Doesn't matter to God. We come to Him angry, sad, tired, hurt, lonely, poor. Doesn't matter to God. He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to come to Him. It doesn't matter what mood we're in. He accepts us, He loves us, and He receives us without demands. It doesn't mean He's going to leave us angry, tired, poor, broken, hurting. He's not going to leave us that way. But He receives us just as we are. Love. What is the meaning of the word love? There are in Greek actually four words, but we're going to look at three words today for love. The language of the New Testament Greek. God chose the time and the place and the language in which the New Testament would be written for a very specific reason. Because many of the Greek words have incredible precision of definition. And you can say things in Greek that you cannot say in English. And it'll take twice the number of words in English to say something that you could say with a simple few words in Greek. It's amazing. The language is so precise. The tenses are so precise that you can't really do, except with context in English, what you can do with just a few words in Greek. There is one word in English for love. We say, I love pizza. I am going to make love to someone, as in sexual love. I love Dallas. I love music. I love my parents. I love God. All of these terms, the use of the word love is different. In Greek, they got three words here to express the differences. The first word is eros, from which we get the word in English erotic. And it means what you think, sexual love. And eros is usually determined based upon desire. Also has a context of control about it. You see someone, you want to be with them sexually, and it's a desire to control. That's how it starts. Eros is not necessarily a negative, however, because when you blend it with the second word, and especially when you blend it with the third word, it changes its meaning. But we'll take a look at that in a moment. The first word, however, is sexual love. eros. The second word is phileo. Phileia in the noun, phileo is the verb. And we have it rooted in the English name for that city in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, is how it's usually translated. It's the friendship, familial friendship. Friendship as in the love and friendship that you have with your family and your friends. It's a love that usually is sort of the... Stand up. Turn around. I scratch your back. Now you scratch mine. Okay. That was hardly a scratch. Go a little lower. Thank you. Thank you. That is an action illustration of phileo. I scratch her back, she scratch mine. You give to get. Now that sounds negative, but it's not. And most of human interrelationships that are positive ones are based in phileo. It's not a negative concept. The scripture uses phileo many times to talk about how we relate with others, how we relate with others in the church even, how we relate sometimes with God. And if we're honest, we can admit that yes, indeed, we frequently have the I'll scratch God's back if he'll scratch mine kind of, except we usually reverse it. God, scratch my back and I'll do something for you. Attitude. All right? So phileo is the second kind of love, and it means more friendship, familial kind of friendship. It's more than just, hi, glad to know you, pleased to meet you. Hi, glad to know you, pleased to meet you. No, it's, stand up. Hi, glad to know you, pleased to meet you. It's a little more than just shaking your hand and forgetting the name the next person you go to. I mean, I'm serious. But that's close. Then there's the third word, agape. The verb is agapao. The noun is agape. And it means literally to consider as more important the needs of the other over your own. To give of yourself to the exclusion of your own needs. To give of yourself in ways that go beyond imagination, in ways that go beyond human conception, in ways that humans do not naturally do. It means to give of the self from the heart, from the soul. It means to give of the self from the heart and the soul without demanding anything in return. Acts of agape. Agapao action, to use the verb form, is love that gives because it is the nature of the giver to give it. Not the worth or the value of the receiver. You can be utterly worthless and still the lover, in this case God, gives. Humans, when they express agape love, they are expressing and coming as close as is possible to understanding the true meaning of grace. Love, favor that gives, not because someone deserves it or merits it or has earned it, but because the one who gives it is one who gives. It's his nature to give. And sometimes even because the receiver is unworthy, because the receiver needs it, the giver gives it. Okay? Now, in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, we have a beautiful series that was read gloriously today by the mother-daughter team. I loved that, by the way. That was just wonderful. Love is used quite a few times in here. I'm going to use a different translation. Love is patient. Love is kind. And is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Wow. You know, you get those moments when you read something from Scripture and you go, it could not possibly be said more clearly. And here we have one of those powerful wow moments in Scripture. Love is patient and kind, not envious, not boastful, not arrogant, not rude, doesn't insist on its own right way, is not irritable or resentful, is not rejoicing in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love, my friends, doesn't bear some things, believe some things, hope some things, or endure some things. Love bears all things. Bearing, what does that mean? Carrying the load. Love carries all the load. Love lifts all the burden. Love doesn't leave some of it behind. Love bears all, not some, all things. Take a look at the second one. Love believes all things. Now, this doesn't mean that you can believe whatever you want. It doesn't say here that love believes everything under the sun. It's all okay. I mean, we United Methodists have a very bad habit of saying that if it moves, we'll affirm it. If it's breathing, we'll accept it. If you're breathing, we will accept you. Sometimes we accept you even if you're not breathing. Look at our role. But Methodists have sometimes a very bad name in believing anything. No, that's not the case. Love says, we'll love you anyway, and we will accept you, and watch out, God will transform you, just as God transformed prayerfully and is transforming us. Love transforms to all things. Just to add a little bit there. Here, let's get to the third one. Hopes all things. And this is not just wishy-washy, oh, I wish. No, it's the word in Greek is elpis, and it means true, divine, faithful hope. Hoping, knowing that God can and will provide. That's true hope, my friends. It hopes all things. There is nothing that the love of God can't accomplish in your life, Rose. There is nothing that the love of God can't accomplish in your life, Sean. There is nothing that the love of God, hope against hope, there is nothing that the love of God can't accomplish in your life, Billy. There is nothing that the love of God cannot accomplish. Now, we say that, and I just said it a bunch of times. But then we will go out those doors, or these doors over here, We'll go outside and we'll immediately go back to living our life thinking, ah, my problems are too deep for God. My problems are too difficult. I can't get through tomorrow. I can't make it. I won't make it. Do you remember last year, way back at the beginning of the year in 06, I had us proclaim here in the sanctuary, we made it through 2006. And throughout the year, periodically, we repeated that phrase. We made it through 2006 until we got to the end of the year. Now we're in 2007, last Sunday of January. We got an awful lot of Sundays left to go. We got an awful lot of bills still coming, Peggy. But guess what? And I want you to say it with me now. We made it through 2007. Not all together. We made it through 2007. We made it through 2007. December's a long way off. But the love of God can bear and believe and hope us all the way through this year and into the next. Now, I'm sure, like me, many of you took a look at the year when we began it and we said to ourselves, I just don't see how we're going to make it through the whole year. I just don't see. There were times last year when I thought, we won't make it. My faith, my hope, my bearing waned. And then the love of God lifted me up. And the love of God will lift all of us up in 2007. And finally, and this is critical, love endures all things. Whew. I wish to God that part could have been said a little differently. Because enduring is hard. Amen. Enduring is painful. Enduring reflects the idea of we've got to get through it, and we do. The good news is that we don't go through it alone. We endure through the love of God. Amen. Because God's love endures with us. Oh, my friends, I don't care what you face financially, in your families. I don't care what confronts you today. I don't care what you're facing in 2007. I don't care what you went through last year. I don't care what is going to run you down and destroy you this year. My friends, with the love of God empowering you, bearing you up, enabling your faith, empowering your hope, you can and will endure all things. My friends, let's face 2007. Let's face 2007 with the bearing, faithful, hopeful, enduring love of God. The agape love, which goes beyond human love, comes from God and empowers and transforms all of our love. You see, God's love poured out into our living takes phileo, friendship, and adds to it a new dimension, a dimension that accepts even when you're uncomfortable, even when you don't necessarily like the person, still, God's love for them and for you, which is an equal love, friends, God's love, they went to the cross for us in Jesus Christ. God's love changes the dynamic between you and them. I had to go to a meeting on Thursday. I'd forgotten, among many things, that I was supposed to participate in a worship service. It was a celebration for the week of Christian prayer, and Bishop Norris was going to be preaching at this service at University Park, and I had been detailed the responsibility of participating in the service. I had flat out forgotten about it. Well, I went and sat there, and I had to sit next to someone who, I won't name them, who, quite frankly, is probably my least favorite person in the ministry. Now, we got them, friends. Stinkers. People who don't need a personality transplant, because you have to have a personality for it to be transplanted to begin with. This person has no personality. He is the most self-serving person in the ministry I ever met. When I was little, I used to think that Daffy Duck was a priest because he was black and he had that white strip that went all the way around his neck, you know? This guy is like Daffy Duck. Mine, 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 mine. What was important in the whole dinner was him talking about my church, my people, my budget, my program, my goals, my dreams, my family. Never once asked a single question, how are you doing? How is your family? How is your spirit? How is your church? We all know people like that. Because Jesus Christ died for that rat, the phileo connection that he and I are called to have is lifted. And I've got to love him. I don't want to love him. I don't want to love him, God. I tried not to sit next to him. I mean, you know, you're in the line, you're serving line, you get your food, and you go to sit. And I'm looking around trying to find a place to sit, and there's empty seats. Nowhere except next to him. There's a reason for that, by the way. And so I have to go and sit next to him and listen to him for almost an hour. That tried my bearing. That tried my faith. That tried my willingness to be hopeful and my willingness to endure. You understand what that's like.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But, my friends, it was also an opportunity. An opportunity to exercise love, and God saw me through it. Likewise, agape love can fill a husband and a wife in such a way that the phileo they share for each other and the eros they share for each other is divine, truly divine. Indeed, Scripture takes that very relationship between a husband and a wife and uses it many times to reflect upon the love of God for His people. My friends, we are called to allow this love of God to see us through all that we face, to receive from God through His love His powerful presence, and to go forward and share that love with others. A love that transforms human relationships and lifts into the divine realm every single person we meet. We are called to share the love of God with others. There's a wonderful hymn, I want to close with this. It's a wonderful hymn called The Love of God. If we with ink the ocean fill, and every stalk on earth a quill, the sky of parchment made. Every man on earth a scribe by trade. To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. That's the love of God. Beyond our comprehension. And yet the love that we are called to share with others.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of First United Methodist Church of Sigelville, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 101 South Kaufman Street, Siegelville, Texas, 75159. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.